Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. We're going to continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes, and tonight is going to be a bit, I'm going to use the word novel, trivial maybe, but I think it'll be interesting to you. This is exciting, and I want you to see some things about this that will apply practically. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Now, let me start by saying this. God wrote the Bible. These are not Solomon's words. They're God's words. This isn't about Solomon. It's about what God says. Now, God uses Solomon as an example in many of these things. But I want you to understand, this isn't Solomon's words. These are God's words. That's what you have to understand as you read the Bible. They're God's words, not man's words. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we're only going to look at verse number 1. Who is as the wise man? Notice that's a question. And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. God says that wisdom is so important that it changes a man's countenance. Wisdom is far more than just knowledge. I know a lot of smart people that have no wisdom. Wisdom, let me give you a couple definitions. This one is probably my favorite. Wisdom is doing the right thing, the right way, at the right time, with the right people. It's being appropriate in every situation. Wisdom is seeing life as God or as truth sees life. You see, too many times we want to see life through our eyes, not God's. Wisdom says, I'll step back and I want to see what God sees in the situation, not what man sees. I had an appointment on Monday in Maine before I flew back home. Matter of fact, with an entire family. They have some tough decisions to make. And it's in reference to one of their family members' health. And I said, I've talked to the preacher. He's asked me to come see you. Would you let me talk to you as a pastor? They said, sure. And I began to tell them something. And I watched one of the men. He got a little stone face with me. I said, don't you look at me that way. And he snapped. I said, don't you get mule-headed with me. I said, back off. I said, you're talking to a West Virginian here. I know what I'm looking at right now. I said, just listen to me as a pastor for a minute. Boy, he backed down. When I got done, he walked over and he put his arms around me and hugged me and began to weep. Within an hour, he had already started making decisions God's way, not his way. He was doing his best, but as I told him, his best wasn't what was best for someone else. Just because you're doing your best doesn't mean it is best. That's what wisdom discerns. Solomon asked God. God came to Solomon one day and said, you're now king. I'll give you whatever you want. Grant, give me your request. And Solomon said, may I have wisdom to lead your people your way. God said, but you didn't ask for fame. You didn't ask for riches. He said, no, I need wisdom to lead people the way you want them led. God said, Solomon, because you've not asked me for the other things, I'll not only give you more wisdom than anybody has or ever will have, but I'll give you more wealth and I'll give you more notoriety than anybody else has ever seen. God gave him all. Now, God allowed Solomon to have more wisdom than any human ever had. I've been around some wise people. I sat at the feet of Dr. Jack Hiles and sat in the rooms with him. I spent hour upon hour with Dr. Lee Robertson. I've spent many hours with many great preachers who have a lot of wisdom, Brother Fugit and others. Solomon's wisdom superseded that by a lot. Now, listen to me very carefully. Someone with wisdom will have a good amount of knowledge, but it's going to be about how to live, not just trivial things. I spend my life working with people. I had a man take me back to my room back to the cabin on Sunday night. A man named Brother Ted. He lives just a couple hundred yards from the cabin. He wanted to spend a little time with me. He began to walk to his car. I said, "What's wrong with your hip?" He said, "How'd you know?" I said, "I can tell by the way you're walking." So I'm getting it replaced on December, I think he said 17th or something like that. It's real close to Christmas. He said, "It's my Christmas gift. 52 years old, got to get a new hip." I said, "Are they going to do the new approach?" I said, "Are they doing the anterior approach instead of the lateral?" He said, "You know about that?" I said, "Oh, yeah." We began to talk. We talked for 10 minutes. He said, "How'd you know?" He said, "I should have known you knew about it." Now, wait a minute. Wisdom is for living. Wisdom is not just for knowing. Knowledge can be just for knowing. Wisdom is for living. There's a difference. I know people that can spit facts off left and right, but it's not practical. They're called engineers. They can tell you what's in a book, but have them walk out on the property, they don't know anything. You say, why? Because that's what the book said. Well, just because you know what a book says doesn't mean you know anything. Knowledge is one thing, wisdom is another. So wisdom is for living, not just knowing. And wisdom knows how to quickly solve problems and do things the right way without creating more problems. I know people that know how to solve a problem, but they make six others while they solve it. I'm going to just pass by that one real quickly. God also says, and this is where we're getting to the crux of the message tonight. God also says that wisdom will cause a person's countenance to change. Look at it again. Who is a wise man and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. God says a person with wisdom, you can look at them and you know something's different about them. Their face says something different. They have a boldness. They have a shine to their face. And I'm not saying that it's greasy, but there's, I don't know how else to say that. But there's a brightness to their countenance because of the wisdom. Now, everybody look at me for a second. There's something that we miss if we only hear that part of it. That means also the lack of wisdom shows on somebody's face. If wisdom shows on somebody's face, foolishness does too. You'll every once in a while hear me come unscrewed on somebody because they're acting foolish in church. I can put up with somebody misbehaving if it's just got the wiggles, but when I hit the pulpit Sunday morning and I corrected a teenage boy who had two other teenagers going at it and was bothering a family sitting in front of him, and I hit the pulpit and said, "You look at me." Everybody's head went like this. I said, it's time to pay attention to the preaching and not bother everybody sitting in front of you and behind you. I said, I watched you through the whole song service. I've watched you mock people. I said, you're not going to do that while I'm preaching. Guess what? We didn't have any more troubles the rest of the service. Say, what was that? It was showing on their face. Because when I watched him, I caught his eye and he went like this. I thought, you better be glad there's about 70 feet between us. Because I'll wipe that smirk right off your head in just a few seconds. And I was prepared. I was ready to do war. Say, why? Because it was showing on his face what he really wanted to do. But guess what? The boldness of wisdom struck it down. He can talk to his public school teachers that way, but he ain't talking to the man of God that way. And he decided, I'm not going to challenge him. Now, I'm not comparing myself to that, but I want you to notice something. Just as stress, sin, evil, and depression changes a person's countenance, wisdom can change a person's countenance too. God says that wisdom causes a person's face to shine and gives a boldness about their face, their countenance. And I want to take this thought tonight and help you with it. Let's take our Bibles. Turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. You say, preacher, that just sounds really, really, really odd to me. Well, it's not really, 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 really odd to God. And I'll show you what I mean. It's happened more than one time in the Bible. Exodus 34, look at verse number 29. Well, it'll help if I'm in the right chapter. There we go. It's very odd because chapter 34 and chapter 35 both have 35 verses in it. Look at verse number 29. Exodus 34. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face, what? While he talked with him. In other words, it was shining, right? Huh. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh unto him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them, and afterward all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. You talk about ugly. Anyway, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. In other words, Moses, after spending time with God, came out. The Bible says that his face started shining so brightly that it scared the people. Now, I don't know what that means other than it says it shone. I can't tell you what it means. I can tell you that it shone. It was shining. But if wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God, Moses spending 40 days and 40 nights with God, don't you think Moses got some wisdom there? Don't you think he began to see things as God saw them? And in that wisdom, it scared the people because Moses' face was shining. Brother Hiles used to get a bad rap. He was not the most... He wasn't the prettiest man in the world, that's for sure. But there was one thing about Brother Hiles, that anybody that ever got close to him would say this. And now Joe and Leanne and my wife are about to say the same thing. He had eyeballs that could look right through you. If you ever got up near him, you felt like he was looking all the way through you, all the way down into your inner person. His eyes just pierced. That's exactly what God's talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. There was that intimidating shine, that intimidating personality, that the boldness that would just look right through you. And the people were afraid of it. Now, they were afraid to talk to him because his countenance shined. Do you know how many people wouldn't go to talk to Brother Hiles because they were afraid of his eyes? My dad was in a church in Indianapolis, and the pastor was a graduate of the college. He went up to have an appointment with Brother Hiles, and he said, "Brother Mel, will you go with me? I don't want to talk to him by myself." He grew up in the church. He literally was a kid that grew up in the church, but he didn't want to go in that office by himself. My dad went with him. He said, "So, you're Brother Craig's dad. How come you couldn't straighten him out?" He said, "I sent him here and you didn't straighten him out either, so you didn't just do so good yourself." Man, I wasn't even in the room getting hammered by both of them. Now, wait a minute. Moses did not notice it. The people did. That's an important statement. Moses did not notice what had taken place. Everyone else did. Wisdom doesn't look at itself. It's just trying to help people live. People who are truly wise don't know they're truly wise. They're too humble to know. They really are. Moses gave the people God's words and not his own words. And I'm going to make a statement here. Everybody listen to this statement. Wisdom is not necessarily holiness. Moses was a murderer. Everybody doing okay? But at that point in time in Moses' life, he wasn't looking at it as a sinner and as a murderer. He had spent 40 days with God. He had talked to God face to face, virtually. He had seen God's hindermost parts because he couldn't look at God's face, but God hid Moses in a rock and put his hand over him and said, "When I pass by, I'll pull my hand away." And the brightness of God's countenance caused his face to shine. There's something to be said of a person who is truly wise. Someone is truly seeing life as God sees it. It was his time with God and the word of God that gave Moses this countenance change. Why else would a nation follow a murderer? Think through that. Can I throw a curveball at you? Moses was not a Hebrew name, it was an Egyptian name. Moses' Hebrew name's never been given in the scripture. Nobody knows what it was. Even God called him by his Egyptian name. Well, he's an outsider. That's why there's no such thing as a clique that's worthwhile, amen? So, God used Moses. This happened, this face shining with wisdom, because it happened with Moses also. Then, go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. 1 Kings 3, look at verse 16. "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king," which is Solomon, "and stood before him. And the one woman said, 'O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of the child with her in the house.' And it came to pass the third day that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, that we together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. In other words, these two harlots both had babies 3 days apart. There was nobody else in the house but them and these two babies. And one of them had a child that was suffocated because mama rolled over in the night on top of it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead son is thy son. And this said, they said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living my son. Thus they spake before the king. They're arguing back and forth over it. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. The king said, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Now listen to this. And all the children and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. Watch this. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. They saw the wisdom. They didn't hear it. They saw it. They saw in his face the wisdom of God. Now, listen to me very carefully here. People will see wisdom in you. You don't have to talk about it. You don't find Solomon going around trying to promote his wisdom. When the king, Queen of Sheba came to him, I want you to, and I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but as you read 1st and 2nd Kings, you find out when the Queen of Sheba came, the Bible says she came to search. And the Bible makes an interesting statement. The Bible says that he told her all her questions. She didn't ask him. He told her what she was going to ask him and then gave the answers. And when he had done, she said, the half has not been told. Not only did you know the answers, but you knew the questions to the answers. You see, wisdom can be seen by others. Wisdom doesn't have to promote itself. That's what Proverbs is about. Wisdom vaunteth not itself. Wisdom doesn't seek itself. Number three, I've got to hurry. I'm about to shout. We as humans can reflect God's wisdom in our lives. Go back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. Look at verse number 22. Numbers chapter 6, look at verse number 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now watch this. The Lord make his what? Face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Can I tell you what's going on in the Middle East right now with Iran and Lebanon and Hezbollah and Gaza? The face of the Lord is shining upon the nation of Israel. You have to understand something. Those are God's chosen people. I didn't say the Jews. I said the land of Israel. Now watch this. God said that he will cause the face of the Lord to shine upon thee. Do you know that people ought to be able to look at us and say something's different? I was at the airport on last Tuesday morning a week ago. I was headed to Maine. There was a lady at TSA just ahead of me, and she was older than I. I would say probably 10, 12 years. I don't know exactly. She was really getting up there in years. But she was ahead of me in age, and I could tell she was a bit uncomfortable. There was just something about it. And the TSA agent, there wasn't a lot of people in line, but the TSA agent was a bit terse. Yeah. And I said, ma'am, I said, honestly, all you need is your ID and your boarding pass. I said, throw everything else in your bag and you don't have to worry about it. She said, it's been a while since I traveled. I'm just a little nervous. I said, it's okay. I said, I'm not trying to step into your bit. She said, no, I can take all the help I can get right now. I said, well, I'll help you till we get through all this mess. You just stay by me. I'll help you. She said, are you a Christian? Now, wait a minute. I wasn't traveling in a suit. I had just checked in a 12-gauge shotgun at security. Take on my trip with me. I said, yes, ma'am. How'd you know? She said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. I pastor Grace Baptist Church in Kearneysville, West Virginia. Handed her a gospel tract. Had to open up my briefcase to give it to her because everything else was stuffed in my briefcase so I could get through TSA. She said, I can tell. She said, as soon as I turned around and looked at your face, I knew you were a preacher. I said, I said, usually people say something else, but that's all right. Now, wait a minute. That just happened a week ago. In line at Baltimore. Can I tell you something? Maybe if we would spend time with God, his face would shine upon us. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. It's right after the book of Ezekiel, after Proverbs and Psalms. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse number 17. Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Now everybody look at me. This room in this building is not the sanctuary. Religious people call their auditorium the sanctuary. No, this is an auditorium. The sanctuary was where the presence of God dwells. My Bible says, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Your body is the sanctuary. God said, I can cause the brightness of God's face to shine upon your sanctuary, your body. That's what Daniel 9:17 says. That's what Numbers 6 says. I could go through plenty of verses through the Psalms and other places we don't have time for tonight. But we are to reflect God when we use or when we live life the right way. Tonight, as the moon came up, everybody was commenting on it as it came in because it was It's the full harvest moon tonight, and it's totally full tonight. It was gorgeous. Do you know the moon has no light of its own? The moon only reflects the light from the sun. Now watch this. That's exactly what our life is supposed to be like. We are to reflect the light of the S-O-N, sun. And it should be bright and full. God says that we could reflect his light. We become similar to the moon and reflect the light of the sun to a dark world. That's exactly what wisdom does to someone. It gives them that full countenance. It's a full harvest moon. It's a super moon, whatever you want to call it. They have to come up with new words. It hasn't changed in thousands of years, folks. Been the same all the way along. Now, let me show you another way that your face can shine. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. I'm about to shout. Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. Now watch this. And they that be what?
Wise.
Okay, you sound like the local Methodist church here. And they that be what?
Wise.
That's better. They that be wise. Now watch this. Shall what?
Shine
as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness. As the stars forever and ever. God says those who will turn many to righteousness, those that are wise and turn many to righteousness shall shine. Hello. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is
wise.
So as we witness and as we win souls, we are wise. We're taking the gospel out, and we're wise, and God says that brings a shine to our countenance. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Say, how do you know that's talking about soul winning, preacher? Because I'll show you in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 12 or 13. Verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. Now watch this. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's talking about getting the gospel out. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Guess what? Hide it under a bushel? No. Won't let Satan blow it out? No. Watch this. What's it talking about? It's talking about getting the gospel out and living right, living wisely. When a person lives right, when a person lives wisely, there's proof in the pudding and people look at that. When lost people come here, when backslidden people come here, what do they see? A bunch of grumpy old evil people? Or do they see the joy of God and the brightness of wisdom and the brightness of the firmament of the people that are shining? That's what God's talking about here. When you tell someone about Jesus, your face is going to shine. I've trained, I don't know, hundreds, probably thousands of soul winners. There's nothing like watching somebody win their first soul to Christ. They're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun or put gasoline in it. They don't care. It's like, got one, preacher. And it just they just come unscrewed. A couple weeks ago, Brother Aaron and Brother Nick won a feller to the Lord, and they were going at it. It showed all over their face. They were shining. That's what God's talking about there. When you share the gospel with somebody, or you watch somebody make a wise decision and they begin to see God work in their life, can I tell you something? It'll cause your face to shine. You know, we ought to look different than the world. My wife spared me Sunday after church. I called her. She said, did you check in for your flight? I flew Southwest. No. In other words, I was in the squish zone. I was preaching while I was supposed to be checking in online so that I could get a decent seat. I was in the last section of boarding, which means you're going to be the hot dog between two big buns. All right. That's all the way. And I got back and I looked and I got to the row 10 and there was a aisle seat. I thought, Shazam. And I looked. There was a husband and wife there, young couple. Between them, there was probably 700 pounds. They were huge. And I was about the last person on the flight. I thought, I can squeeze in there. It's only an hour and a half flight. That guy's leg was bigger than my waist. I sat down. I got my Bible out and some things I was going to work on. And he's like this. His legs are like this. The rest of him is like this. And she's squished up again. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. This is going to be uncomfortable. But I'm going to do it. I got the aisle. God gave me the aisle. Gave me my request, but sent leanness to my soul. Wait a minute. I began to work, pulled my Bible out. And he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. They began to tell me how they were Christians. And I watched that big old boy. He said, I knew you had to be a Christian to sit by me. I said, why is that? He said, look at me. He said, I'm too big. Nobody wants to sit by me. He said, I knew it had to be only a Christian that could sit there. I said, Doc, I'm glad I'm sitting here. I was able to talk to him, encourage him a bit. In between breaths, we had to alternate breathing him in. it was getting a little squishy in there, amen. Wait a minute. Nobody else probably would have sat there. How sad. How sad. I can't tell you that my first thought was, no. But it's close to the front. I can get off first. Let's just do it. I can be uncomfortable for a little while. By the way, very gracious young man. Very gracious. Maybe if we'd learn to see life as God sees it, we could shine a little bit more. Flight landed. I stood up. I had my briefcase. I was going to run, check baggage, meet my wife. And the fellow looked at me and he said, Pastor, thank you. I said, I didn't do anything. He said, yes, you did. You sat by me. That's more than most. Honestly, I didn't say a ton to him. He just needed to know somebody cared. You know, maybe wisdom would help us. I want to show you one other verse and I'm done. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. If you doubt that wisdom causes, in the presence of God, causes your face to shine, Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Notice, when God opened heaven, God put the glory of Jesus' face back in its heavenly position. Said his face shined as the sun. Guess what? When you get in the presence of God, your face will shine. When you start using the wisdom of God, your countenance will change. But listen to me, so will the lack of wisdom show on somebody's face. I can look at a young person and tell when they're hurting or when they're rebelling. Their countenance shows it. I can look at an adult and tell you whether they're listening or getting mule-headed with me. Their countenance tells you. You see, God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 1, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. You know, you don't have to worry about anything if you're speaking on God's behalf. Them tough old Mainers, they're not used to ultra-conservative, loudmouth Baptist preacher. They're used to conservative, medium-mouth preacher, but I cut loose on them for a while. I loved them, but I cut loose on them. Big old tough Mainer, he come walking out and he said, "You're pretty strong there, young man." I said, "Yes, sir, got to get through to thick people's heads." He said, "Well, you was working on mine today pretty hard." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "But you was listening." He said, "I'm going to chew a while." I said, "It's okay, it'll go down, just swallow." He said, "You don't give up, do you?" I said, "Not till you do." He said, "I'll be back tonight." I love that. You see, sometimes it just has to have a little bit of boldness there. It doesn't come natural. It comes by wisdom and time with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Solomon never sought for people to come after him. Solomon never checked to see how wise he was. He just tried to see life as God sees it. How's your wisdom?